Sometimes you get preachers together and they like to one-up each other. That was true one day many years ago. I was in Wichita Falls pastoring Beverly Drive United Methodist Church, and a whole bunch of the clergy of the Wichita Falls district and area from multiple denominations got together to have lunch and to pray and to talk about the problems of our community and what we as pastors in the community could do to help. We had many different denominations represented there and many different pastors, and some of us tended to be more long-winded than others. Old Brother Martin got up, pastor at Baptist Church down the road, to give the opening prayer. This was sort of grace before we were supposed to eat, and we'd all gathered together. It was, I think it was a Golden Corral, and we'd gone through the line to get our food, and we got to the tables, and once everybody was seated and all, we had waited, and then old Brother Martin got up to pray. And he started to pray grace. And Brother Martin prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. He blessed the food. He blessed the people. He blessed our churches, naming each one of them by name. Now, we were all thankful for this. But as the grace went from 1 minute to 2 minutes, to 3 minutes, to 4 minutes, to 5 minutes, to 10 minutes, I'm serious, friends. He wasn't praying, he was preaching a sermon. And as he started to approach the 17, 18 minute mark, he stopped to catch his breath. See, the worst part of it was that it was a continual strain of thought and words that did not stop. They kept on going. It was quite hypnotic. He finally came to a moment where he stopped to catch his breath. And when he did that, Brother Scott, sitting down there on the other side of the table, went, "Amen!" And we all ate. We all ate. Poor Brother Martin standing there looking a little bit perturbed because his prayer had been brought to an unexpected end. Praying and praying and praying and praying words to be heard by those seated around you. Praying and the words that we use when we pray. The length of our prayers. How we try to impress other people with our prayers. Or conversely, how we are concerned about what we're saying, the prayer words we're using, how they'll be received. Oh, I hope I can pray a prayer that makes sense. Concern about our prayers. Concern about the words we use. Think about our prayer language. I mean, how often in your life do you use the words thou, thee, and thine? Now, I don't know about you, but I don't use thou, thee, and thine very often. I don't say, "Oh, Jeff, thine playing was glorious today. How art thou, Brother Alexander? How art thou, Sister Joanne? How is it with thy family, Debbie?" I don't talk that way, do you? Dost thou speakest this way? No. I have a friend who goes to a church where instead of saying, as we say, "The Lord be with you," and y'all reply, they say, "The Lord be with thee and with thy spirit." I think it's pretty, but it's a little unusual. It's a little stilted. So often our prayer language is that way. It's fake. It's filled with language we don't normally use. We spend a great deal of time telling God how wonderful God is. "Oh, Almighty God, thou art glorious in majesty, an almighty creator of the universe. Thou hast created all things and called them." God knows God did this. And then there's the most annoying thing of all, which is the, "Father, we just want us. Father, we just want to thank you and praise you. Father, we just want to tell you how glorious you are. Father, we just want to ask you for your blessings." Ask God. "Father, we ask you for your blessings." Leave out the "we just want us." Instead of, Father, we just want to, simply ask it. Father, bless us. Prayer words, prayer language, how to pray, and a guide for prayer. Paul deals with these issues, these questions, in his letter to the Philippians. He deals with it by establishing first the character of the Christian life, how we're supposed to live our lives. And then he goes on to address some specifics about prayer. Instead of being prayed much for others to hear, as Jesus addressed, simply ask for what you need. He begins by saying, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Don't live your life all, oh, oh, poor is me, woe is me, or as they did in Monty Python, oh. That's how a lot of Christians are. Pia Jesu Domine, Dona Eis Requie. That's how they are. Oh, I'm terrible. Beat on me. Take the Bible and beat yourself with it. No. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. In case you missed it, rejoice. That is what we're called to do. Not beat on ourselves. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. That's our calling as Christians. Firstly, in our living, we're called to rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The word here, gentle, in King James, they use the word moderation. That's just terrible. The root word is arene, peacefulness, and graciousness, charis. Both of these concepts and these words are present here. Let your gracefulness and your peacefulness be shown to everyone. You mean I got to be nice to people? Yep. Why? The Lord is near, that's why. And that's just not, oh, he's going to come sometime next Tuesday. No, he's here right now. The Lord is near. He is near us today. He is near you right this instant. And because the Lord is present, because the Lord is here and right now, we're called to treat each other with gentleness, with compassion, with peacefulness, with grace. We're called to be good and gracious to each other. We're called to live our lives rejoicing and showing the grace and peace of God to others because the Lord is right here, right now. That's how we begin our prayer life. That is the attitude that our prayers are called to have. Our living is called to be encompassed with this understanding that we rejoice in the presence of God and we give grace and peace to our brothers and sisters because the Lord is right here, right now. Paul continues, do not worry about anything. Now I'm going to start worrying about things. I mean, Paul, it was great. You rejoice? That's wonderful. Be gracious to others? Yeah, I think I can get my brain and heart around that. Be gracious to others? Yeah, I like that. The Lord is near. The Lord is right here. Yeah, that's wonderful. But then don't worry about anything. Now I'm going to find myself worrying about worrying. Don't worry about anything. Not a thing. You aren't to be worrying about anything at all. Even about worry itself. Well, if we're called to rejoice, if we're called to treat others with the gentleness of God, because the Lord is near, then yes, we don't have anything to worry about. because God is here right this instant. So this is the attitude we're supposed to have in our prayer life. It's an honest attitude. It's a genuine attitude. It's a self-revealing attitude. And with that in mind, we then pray. Specifically, in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Oh. Have you ever... I don't use the word supplication much in my regular life either. Mother, I place myself in supplication before thee that thou wouldest give me my peanut butter and jelly sandwich. No. We don't talk that way. We don't act that way. Supplication? I looked it up in Webster's. It means to ask, request, pray, beg. Sounds like a synonym for prayer. Yeah, it is. Entreat. Desire. So you could translate this in everything, in all things, by prayer and prayer with thanksgiving. Huh? Yeah. By prayer with much praying is another translation here. By prayer with much praying, with thanksgiving. In Greek, when you repeat the concept, even with two complementary words, you end up emphasizing and increasing the emphasis of the meaning. We are to be praying with much prayer. We're to be praying with much emphasis, with thanksgiving, with much thanks to God. We're to be praying. And what are we to be praying? Makes it very clear. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and much prayer, with thanksgiving, let your requests, your prayers, your needs be made known to God. Let your requests, your needs, being made known to God. In other words, with a joyful heart, being gracious to others because the Lord is near, without worrying about anything, simply in prayer, with much praying, with much earnestness, with much heartfelt emotion, make your needs made known to God. Make your needs clear to God. Speak your needs to God. Voice your needs to God. Speak them clearly, loudly. Don't hide them, but speak them to Almighty God. That is what we're called to do. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. And the peace, the end of againstness, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, which is beyond our ability to encompass with our brains and minds, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We're called to be in prayer, in an attitude of prayer, with rejoicing and thanksgiving, treating others as if the Lord is near because He is, and offering up our simple prayers, our requests to Almighty God. Paul isn't alone or unique in this. Jesus himself said that you pray many words for others to hear. Instead, go into your closet and pray to your Father in secret. Be honest and open with God. Be honest and open with God. It does no good to lie to God. God knows the truth. I had a friend who used to write in her diary every day, and she made great hay about writing in her diary every day. She said she loved to write in her diary because she wanted to essentially write what she wished her life was like. And so in her diary, she talked about all the boyfriends she had and all the neat things she did and how rich her family was, and none of it was true. Now, does that make sense? She was writing fiction, my friends, in her diary. Do we pray fiction to God? Do we pretend as if there's nothing wrong? Are we afraid of speaking the truth to God? I woke up this morning, and for some reason, and I do not know why, I woke up this morning angry at God because I miss my dad. I woke up angry at God because I miss my dad. Now, some people would say, oh, don't be angry with God. You think God can't take it? You think God is hurt? No, God is hurt when we deny the relationship with God that we're called to have. God is hurt when we think we can hide from God our pain, our anguish, our hurt, our anger. I took it to God. God, I want my dad back. Dad's been dead over 4 years. God, I want my dad back. But I knew, and I know, and I will always know, that in truth, in Christ Jesus our Lord, He's never far from me. In a sense, because my Father is in Christ even now, and because I am in Christ even now, I have my dad. And knowing that and realizing that caused the hurt to diminish somewhat. Still miss him, but because of the love I have in God, because of the love my dad had for me in his life, because of the love my dad had for God in his life, because the fact that we are both in Christ, I am never far removed from my dad. It still hurts, but it's not an eternal hurt. We need to be honest with God. We need to be open with God. We need to be truthful with God. We don't need to be lying to God. We're just fooling ourselves if we try. We should offer up our prayers honestly, openly, clearly, and listen for God to speak. Jesus taught his disciples how to pray. They asked him if he would teach them how to pray, and he taught them what we often call the Lord's Prayer. In reality, it's the disciples' prayer. Some communions call it the Our Father, and that's a good idea because it is Jesus' teaching us how to pray. Have you ever, we pray it all the time. We prayed it today. We go through it by rote. We don't listen to what we're praying. We pray, Our Father in heaven, glory be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. We start the prayer by saying, God, you're boss. God, you're in charge. God, your will's going to be done on earth as it is in heaven. You're in charge of my life, God. We start with that recognition. It's very similar to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. The Lord is near. Treat each other with grace. Then we continue in the second part of the prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. You know, it doesn't say, give us this day our daily Cadillac. It doesn't say, give us this day our daily $1 million. I wish it said, give us this day our daily chicken, but it doesn't. You know the joke about the Pope and Colonel Sanders are having a conversation, and the Colonel is trying to convince the Pope to change the prayer from give us this day our daily bread to give us this day our daily chicken. And the Pope says, no, 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 I can't do that. And Colonel Sanders says, I'll give you $100 billion if you'll change the Lord's Prayer from give us this day our daily bread to give us this day our daily chicken. And the Pope says, well, I'll have to pray about it then. And then he goes and he has a conversation with the College of Cardinals and he says, I've got good news and bad news. I've found a way to get the church $100 billion. The bad news is we're going to lose the Wonder Bread account. Give us this day our daily bread. Our daily bread. enough for the basics of life. The daily bread, not weekly, not monthly, daily bread. What we need to live day to day. In other words, we begin this portion of the prayer by saying, give us what we need for our daily physical living. Then, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. At the first part, that's great. We want our daily bread and we want to have our sins forgiven. Jesus could have stopped with that part and I think most of us would have been happy, right? Give us this day our daily bread. Yep, we got our bread. Forgive us our sins. Yeah, that's good. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Now I've got to go and forgive people? Yep. You've got to forgive. Just as Paul said, make your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. We are called to be forgiving, to be sharing the peace of God with others, the gentleness and graciousness and compassion of God with others, by forgiving and then being forgiven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation. Now, some people have a real hard time with that one. You ever, in the history of the English Bible, there was something called the Wicked Bible. It was a translation of the King James where the printer left the noughts out of the Ten Commandments. You know, thou shalt commit adultery, thou shalt steal, thou shalt kill. They left the noughts out. And therefore it was called the Wicked Bible. Some people love that idea. They want to be led into temptation. Tell you, when I'm at a buffet, I want to be led into temptation. We're all that way a little bit. No, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, more literally. Deliver us from the one who leads us into evil. Deliver us out of evil and into your life. My brothers and sisters, the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples is not different from what Paul taught the Philippian Christians. We are called to simply ask for what we need, physically and spiritually. We're called to rejoice in the presence of Almighty God. We're called to share the gentleness of Christ with others. We're called to ask for what we and our sisters and brothers need for physical and spiritual life. This is the way of prayer, my friends, that we are called to live. This is the way of prayer that is supposed to govern our lives. My prayer for us today, and I'm asking God for this, is that we as a congregation might be open to prayer, to simply asking, without the flowery language, without the special words, simply speaking with God and asking for what we need. That's what we're called to do. That is my prayer for us today.
Been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of Northgate United Methodist Church and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2011 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal, all rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at Northgate United Methodist Church, 3700 West Northgate Drive, Irving, Texas, 75062. This program was produced by Dr. Gregory Neal.